Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're only going to read two verses this morning, and we'll read them in unison this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. We'll read these verses. I'll pray. I think we have a special this morning, and then I'll come back and preach. I really believe we're going to be out on time or a little early this morning, and I had no idea of what the day was going to bring, but you're going to laugh when you hear the title of my sermon this morning. It's going to be kind of funny. So, all right, Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let's read both of these verses together in unison. Ready? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And let's pray. Father, sure do need you this morning. These are your people. And Lord, we live such busy, crazy, hectic lives. We have so much that we think we need to get done, but may we forget about everything that needs done, and may we focus on what we need from you, and may we get it so that we can give you what you need today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me have your attention today. I'm preaching a sermon called Weary. Weary. Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yes. Now, if you'll give me a hearing this morning, let's practice something here, all right? I want you all to say amen like a bunch of Baptists. You ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
All right. Now I want you to say, oh me. One, two, three. Because you're going to do both today. All right? Here we go. I know what it means to be weary from work, okay? And I am in no wise the epitome of this, but I've been working 70, 80 plus hours for almost, well, over three decades of my life. A 60-hour week's almost a vacation for me. My wife will tell you there's been times in my life where I've worked 3 and 4 months at a time, averaging almost 110 hours a week. The world would call me a workaholic. God calls it just being a man. That's one of those amen points. Ready?
Amen.
There you go. All right. But I generally average 70 to 80 hours a week working here for the church, for the Lord. It's just a part of who I am. I don't expect everybody to do that. I really don't. I counsel people every once in a while. I'll counsel somebody and say, boy, I've had a long, hard week. Great. How many hours did you put in? I put 38 hours in. I thought, shoot, I did that in 2 days this week. And I don't criticize. It's just I'm built a little different, and I get that. Now, the shape isn't a whole lot different than some, but I'm built a little different on the inside. I'm wired with 440 instead of 110, amen? I love what I do. I don't plan on retiring. I plan on preaching to the day I can't stand up and preach anymore, and then I'm going to roll over and die. As the old preacher used to say, I don't plan on retiring, I plan on retreading. And that's just put another layer of rubber on and let me go. If I got a wheel in a wheelchair, I'll do it. If I got to hobble in on crutches, I'll do it. Unless it's a kidney stone. But past that, we'll be here. Now, you say, why, preacher? Because I think it's a shame that most preachers are so stinking lazy that they put more time into making money, and the world puts more time into making money than some preachers put into serving God. They're going to be selling snow cones where the devil lives before I let the world work harder for the devil than me for God.
That's good.
Amen.
I just believe in that. Now, I also realize, and this is where I'm going to veer away from me as an illustration here, but I also realize there are many different kinds of work.
Yes.
There are many different types of work. Mental work can be as taxing as physical work. Matter of fact, for those of you that don't use your mind, it's more taxing. Mental work is exhausting. It can be very exhausting. And by the way, you say, well, you take a guy like Brother Mike that works out in construction and he's working around huge pieces of equipment and stuff, and he's flinging around 30-pound sledgehammers and beating concrete and men and everything. I mean, beating things up and tearing things down. And I mean, just pouring billions of yards of concrete and everything else. Yeah, that's physical hard work. But we have people that sit in an office at work, and mentally they're as tired as somebody that would be physical. Now, Brother Mike has both ends of that job with the type of work he does. But I also realize that there are older folks in this church that just go into the store to do your grocery shopping's work. For some of you, just tying your shoes is work, because you got to get down and back up. I'm not going there. Did you ever notice somebody got smart? For the very young and the very old, they started putting Velcro on shoes. Amen? I do not have them and don't plan to have them either. But I also realize that everybody's busy, and their definition of busy is different. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. We shouldn't compare our busy to someone else's busy. Busy to Brother Stoltz may not be busy to Neil. But what's busy to Neil may not be busy to Brian. And what's busy to Brian may not be busy to me. It's one of those relative terms. Yeah. And we shouldn't compare with anybody else. Fellas, trying to compare your busyness with the busyness of your wife isn't real smart.
Amen.
And by the way, wives are busy.
Yeah,
and for you to sit there and complain, well, you don't do nothing all day. You stay home and take care of the house and the kids for a week and find out what she really does. You do the grocery shopping. You clean the dirty, stinky clothes. You clean up all the messes. You chase after the kids. You go do all the shopping. You go do all that kind of stuff and find out whether she sits there and does nothing all day long. Everybody doing all right? And in some cases, they work part-time or full-time on top of that. And then you want to complain that something's not the way you want it. Well, I'm busy too. I'm out earning a living. If you're earning it, why is she working too? Don't get so upset. Okay, that was an oh me. Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, there you go. Ouch. I love you. May I say this? Daily living is not to be a contest. I am not in competition with that cute little lady sitting right there over who's busier throughout the day. I'm not in competition with my wife. I'm not in competition with my children. My kids are all grown. Now, my daughter doesn't handle the load I handle. You say, why? Because she's not me. But I got two boys. You just feed them a bale of hay. They'll keep working. And it might take a couple bales for them, but you feed them a bale of hay and they keep going. Now, wait a minute. Let me just say something here. Fellas, holler amen. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
All right. Did you know man is supposed to work more than a woman?
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir.
So why is it we want to complain that they don't do as much as us? Sounds like you need to go to Frisco. Now, I understand health is a factor. Do you know that when somebody's not well, they don't work as much sometimes? I know people that have diseases and things that keep them from being able to do what they would like to do physically. And that happens. We can't judge somebody based on that. And by the way, life is just as hard on them as it is for you. Lock me up and put me down for a couple weeks once. My wife will tell you, I had a kidney stone early on a Sunday morning. It took everything everybody had to keep me in church Sunday night from coming to church and preaching that night. And I hadn't passed it yet, but she gave me one of those little pills that they gave me, and I wasn't in any shape to be here preaching. That one would not have hit the internet. I would have broken every piece of equipment we had to keep that one. Now, wait a minute. I say it this way. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. I think we ought to work as fast as we can so that we can maintain it for as long as we can. I know a lot of people that think life's a sprint, everything they do is a sprint, and you wonder why every day at the end of the day, they're out of breath. They can't go any farther. I hate sleep. I do it because I have to, not because I want to. I rarely get to the end of the day saying, oh boy, I get to go to sleep. Now, my wife, if you just say the word, she's ready for it. She's one of those people, you say sleep, she's, okay. I don't know how people do that. If I can go to sleep within 45 minutes after I lay down, that's a really good night right there. Oh, my soul. Now, I think my wife and her backside are wired together because one goes down, the other follows, you know. It happens. And I know people like that. I know preachers that they could say, I can sit in my desk and tell myself I'm going to sleep and take a 5-minute nap, and they could sit there, close their eyes, and go to sleep that fast. It takes me 5 minutes to close my eyes. I couldn't do that. Now, but not everybody's wired the way I am. And I get that. You say, preacher, don't you get tired? Of course I do. I get weary. You carry the loads that I carry, you'll find out you'll get weary. Now, you're not going to live life, especially if you're going to have any amount of success, without getting weary. I think one of the craziest things in our society is we don't want kids to work. I believe in teaching young people to work. The Bible says it's good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth.
Yes, sir.
Learning to work.
Yes, sir.
Because the rest of your life is built on it. Yes. I was paid a compliment this week for being 50 years old. Believe it or not. I was talking to a very, very successful man, has made more millions than I even want to think about. And he said, Pastor, not many men 50 years old want to tackle what you're tackling. They want to survive off of what they built up to age 50. He said, look around. How many 50-year-olds are building a company from ground up? How many people go out at 50 years old and start church building projects? He said, they may take one over and add to it, but they're not starting from ground up pioneering. He said, it's going to keep you young. I said, or make me old. I haven't decided which yet. Now, wait a minute. I got enough oomph in me. I'm not sitting back on my blessed assurance doing nothing. But can I tell you something? I get tired too. We're trying to sell our house. We had 5 showings yesterday. Add to that, the Barneses were moving. So we were trying to help them move. God only knows how many pickup trucks I loaded and unloaded yesterday. And I didn't stay for the whole thing because we had other things we had to get done. But I think I went through about 7 or 8 truckloads with them. Now, did I carry more than somebody else? No. But I did what I could do. I wasn't comparing how many boxes Wiley carried compared to how many I carried. Because I know I carried twice as many. Wait a minute. Ouch. Thank you, Mung. I appreciate that. Wait a minute. We weren't in a contest. The only contest was, let's get her done.
Amen.
That was it. Now listen to me. I want to give you a few principles about being weary from the Bible. Number one, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. This is mistaught. This is mispreached. That does not say that we should not get tired of doing good things. Good is an adjective that modifies a noun. Well is an adverb that modifies a verb. God says that we should not be weary of doing
good. Don't be weary in doing things well, is what it says. And be not weary in well-doing, doing well. Now, listen to this very carefully. I believe what we do, we ought to do well. If you're going to go at it half-cocked and only leave it partially done, don't do it. God says do it, complete it, and do it well. I like words. People will ask me, how are you doing today? I'm doing well. How are you? Oh, I'm doing good. Sometimes, especially with younger people, I'll say, what good are you doing? Because good is an adjective. Well is an adverb. How are you doing? I'm doing well. If you go through your adverb questions, when, where, why, how, and to what extent? So how are you doing? Well, it's an adverb answer. I'm doing well. Adjective is different. God says we're not supposed to be weary in doing things well. Can I tell you something? Even when you don't feel like it, you ought to give your best. My Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now, your might not be as strong as it used to be, but you may give everything you've got with what you have left.
Amen.
I'm not as strong as I was 25 years ago, but I can still go at it. Instead of carrying 3 boxes at a time, I was carrying 2 boxes at a time, unless they were Kirsten's and they're full of books.
Amen.
Rotten little twerp, I'm going to get her tonight. She left town on the day of the move. Strap them puppies to her back and make her carry up and down that hill once. Now, wait a minute. There was a day I'd have put 3 of them puppies on there. Not yesterday. I'm 50 years old. And I said, I got to be able to stand up and preach tomorrow. I'll put 2 of them puppies on there and I'll carry them in and out. I might make more trips, but I'm going to be able to keep walking tomorrow. I decided I'd use my head more than my back. Then I got to the point where it was, hey, Wiley, carry these. That's really using the noodle, amen? Wait a minute. God doesn't want us to be tired or weary of doing our best at everything we do. Can I tell you something? I'll give you the best of what I got. I promise you. I may not do it as well as someone else, but I'm going to give it to you the best I can give it to you. There may be times I hold back because I can't give more, but I'm going to give you all I can give you while you got it. God says we should not be weary of doing the best we can at all we do. That means at home. I think we ought to do well with what we do at home. Ladies, when you're cooking, do it well. Amen. Now, if it's meat, do it rare, not well. Leave it bleeding a good bit. You know, knock it in the head and run the match up and down it, and it's good enough to flop on the plate. But I really believe we ought to practice at home doing things well. We ought to teach our children to do things well. Teachers ought to teach their students to do things well, not just slap answers down. I think we ought to... Thank God my teachers didn't do this as much as they probably should have, but I think we ought to get back to handwriting well. Because if you've seen mine, it's not well. I said that for you, Mrs. Barnes. There was a day when we did everything well. Now, nobody does anything well. Look at the return rate of everything that we buy or the breakdown rate of everything we buy. Good night, you can pull something out of the box and it's broke down before you ever pulled it out of the box. God made, well, the word well also means complete. Did you know that in order to do something well, you have to finish it? Just because you had 10 math problems for homework and you did 3 of them and you got all 3 of them right, you still didn't do well because you had 7 that you didn't do.
You may have got 100% on the three you did, but you had seven left, which means you got a 30%, which means you failed. You did not do it. By the way, that's the way they used to grade things. Well, I just don't believe in failing a child. I don't fail a child. You get what they earned. Right. Can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You better learn how to tug a little harder, amen?
Amen.
The word well means complete. I'm not going to look at anybody. How many unfinished projects are at home? I didn't look at anybody. I'm under the pulpit on that one. All right, oh me, ready? One, two, three.
Oh me.
We all have those. Can I tell you something? If you're going to do it well, complete it.
Amen.
Life will get a whole lot better when you don't have 40,000 things hanging over your head. Do it and do it well. Everybody doing okay? God made your body to get tired. Did you know that? God made your body so that it would be tired. The world will tell you, well, when you get tired, just lay down and sleep through it. You can give up all the other things in life. Your sleep is far more important. That's a lie out of Hades.
Yes, sir.
Very few people in this world need 8 hours of sleep.
Right.
Brother Jimbo, I thank God we got a man in the White House for more than one reason, because the other one that was up against him was not worth powder. You can choose what color. Now, wait a minute. The president of the United States, running the biggest, most successful nation in the world, not necessarily the biggest in people, but biggest economy, averages 4 to 5 hours sleep a night. Most people don't need... Now, I realize the older you get, the more you need. Instead of 3 or 4 hours, I'm up to 4 or 5 hours, if I can get it in. But very few people need 8 hours. If you sleep 8 hours a day, every day of your life, you slept one-third of your life. That means if you lived 60 years, you slept 20 of them.
Yes, sir.
That's sad.
That's right.
That's sad. I decided I was going to get everything I can out of life.
Amen.
Now, most people don't need 8 hours. Now, I realize you should sleep. Everybody needs to sleep. God made your body to sleep as well. But we have turned sleep into something that it is not. We want to make sure that the children don't have to go to school too early because they might be tired. Well, if they'd shut the stupid TV off and get to bed at a decent hour, they could get up early in the morning. Used to be you got up and fed the chickens, gathered the eggs, slopped the hogs, milked the cow, went to breakfast, and then went to school. Schooled all day long, came home, did chores again. And guess what? They lived pretty long back in those days. And they didn't have as many illegitimate babies. They didn't have a drug problem. They didn't have a rebellion problem. They were too tired to go out and fool around. I threw that in there for extra. It wasn't even in my sermon. Well, you're tired. You just need to go get extra rest. Can I tell you something? When you're tired, push through it. If you've ever lifted weights, you get to a point where you start lifting weights and then you got to add to it. Man, you're thinking, I am not going to make it through this. But you work your way through it till you get strong enough to handle it so you can add more to it. If you're tired, it means you're at the end of what you're used to carrying. Time to pick up a little extra load. Hang in there. You'll carry it long enough, you'll get used to it. Schedule yourself to stay strong. I don't think you ought to get involved in so many different things that you can't keep them all going. Being wise enough to understand how much you can handle is as important. I know people that are very successful in their business, but their kids don't even know who they are. Their wife doesn't know who they are. Their husband doesn't know who they are. They know how to make money, but they don't know how to have good relationships.
I think we ought to have both. I think we ought to have both. So we're not to be weary in well-doing. Number two, and I'll hurry. Living sinfully causes people to be weary. Living sinfully causes people to be weary. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah. I'm going to show you what God says, not what the preacher says. Say why? That way you can blame God, don't blame me. I'm just the messenger. I didn't write the book. Isaiah chapter 43, look at verse number 24. Isaiah 43, verse 24. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. God says, you wear me out with all your sin. You make me tired with your sin. Look at Jeremiah, just the next book over, chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse number 5. I love this verse. The Bible says, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. And that was not the verse I was looking for, but talks about them being weary because of their sin. And I wrote the wrong verse down. Hang on here. Is it? I just read the wrong one? Okay. I'm on 8:5. No wonder. You kept saying 9:5. I said, I just read that. It's Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 5. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor. By the way, deceit is sin. And will not speak the truth. That's lying. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Think about it. Sin keeps people up late at night. The bars, the nightclubs, the parties, TV, movie houses. I guess a term I'm not as familiar with, gaming, either online or just playing video games. And people are not going to work the next day because they're too tired because they were up too late doing things the night before. Sin destroys your health.
You're right.
I'm going to say something. Smoking cigarettes will destroy your lungs.
That's right. Yes.
Gives you cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, just everybody gets cancer didn't mean they smoked. But proven fact, it will give you cancer.
Yes.
It'll slow you down because of your weight. Did you know sin adds weight to you? That's why they call it a beer belly. At least Brother Stoltz does. now, wait a minute. It adds to... I'm not going any farther with it. But it causes health issues. Cirrhosis of the liver. Drunkenness with accidents. There are people that will not go to work tomorrow because they're going to get drunk tonight and be hung over and not be able to go to work tomorrow. And they wonder why they're so tired. Diseases. It burns brain cells. You do drugs, it's going to burn your brain.
Yeah, right.
You drink alcohol, it burns your brain.
That's right,
sir.
Alcohol is as much of a drug as heroin is. Yes, it's just a legal one in the United States, unfortunately. Signed in by Franklin Roosevelt. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Sin breaks down your health. And when your health is broken down, you're not as strong and as vigorous as you used to be. Brother Mike, you work with men that could work twice as hard if they quit smoking. Everybody in here has worked with people that hasn't shown up to work, or they weren't worth showing up to work because they came in with a hangover. Everybody in here has dealt with people that can't think because they burned their brain on drugs. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
look at the depravity of the average worker in America because of their sinful habits. Look at the sexually transmitted diseases. And I could go on and on and on and on. sin also causes you to run to cover your tracks. Tripping over your lies. Trying to backtrack. Trying to hide from the people at home. Teenagers trying to hide from mom and dad. Husbands and wives trying to hide from each other. The sin that they're doing. And it causes extra work on you that breaks you down. It causes you to miss work. Think of how much money is wasted on sin. I have no idea. The last time I heard, cigarettes were like $5 or $6 a pack. I have no idea what they are. I don't even pay attention to them. But if you smoke two of those a day, every day, at $5 a pack, that's over. Let's see, 3,650 twice, seven, that's over $8,000 a year you suck in and blow back out. You could buy any luxury car you want with cigarette money. You could make your mortgage payments just about with cigarette payments. I know people that put more into cigarettes than they do their own mortgages. For what reason? To get cancer? Think of how much money's wasted on alcohol. By the way, it's not Bud Wiser, it's Bud Dumber. It'll make you stupid.
Yes, sir.
Think of how much money is wasted on sin. Think of how much money's wasted on drugs. And why in the world somebody wants to put drugs into their body that a doctor has not prescribed to do for a certain pain or illness makes no sense to me. None. Oh, it just makes you feel so good. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And by the way, we're now to a point in America where you need to be careful what you take from the doctor, not because of the doctor, but because we have people that are addicted to prescription drugs. You think you're still hurting because you want more of that feeling. I don't like it. I tell them when I go get a kidney stone, give me enough to knock the pain off, but past that, no more. And I've had them bad enough. I need another one. And then you go, I'm not sure that it takes pain away. I just don't know if you care if it hurts. Now, wait a minute, but I always come to, and I tell my wife, I can't understand why people want to feel this way. I have no desire. Did you know the President of the United States has never drank alcohol? He decided as a young man he wanted to be a good businessman. Alcohol affects how people think, and he knew if he drank alcohol like everybody he was dealing with, that he'd end up as stupid as they were. And you wonder why he's a billionaire and they're not. He does not drink alcohol. He does not smoke. Look what just went out of the White House. Anyway, we won't go there. So, number one, we're not to be weary in well-doing. Number two, living sinfully causes people to be weary. And number three, by the way, that's why people don't want to get up and go to church. Well, I don't want to go to church. It'll take my time. Yeah. I got to get up to go to church. Church starts at, Sunday school is 9:45 and church at 10:45. You got to get up for that? Lord have mercy. I was out of bed before 4:30 this morning. There's not many days I'm in bed past 5:30, ever. Doesn't matter what time I get to bed. Just so you know. Number three, God gets tired. And weary. God gets tired and weary. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. I'll show you something here. Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Ah, finished, completed, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God called ended his work, which he had made. And he, what's the next word out loud? Ready?
Rested
on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Huh. Guess what? God rested. God got tired. Can you imagine making the universe and everything in it in 6 days? You talk about somebody who understands work. God does. He completed it and he rested. God rested from his work. Can I tell you something? God's plan is you work 6 days, rest one. God says work six, rest one. Now, we get addicted and we think we've got to work 7 days a week, 365 days a year to make more money so we can die and leave it to everybody else. God gets weary of things. Now, I believe people ought to take time to rest. Now, rest doesn't mean you lay in bed all day long either. Shot that one full of holes, didn't it? There are things I do for rest. My wife thinks I'm crazy. Hunting is restful to me. Get up early in the morning, walk out to the woods, climb up in a tree stand, sit there and wait for a deer to walk by, shoot it, get excited, then you got to drag the stupid thing. Then you got to field dress it, and then you got to quarter it, and then you got to butcher it. But that's restful to me. It's a break in the action, amen? And there's just something about the smell of spent gunpowder.
Amen. There you go.
You need to make a cologne. Spent gunpowder. We can make millions, fellas. Now, wait a minute. God gets weary of some things. The Bible says God gets weary of people that do evil. God says that he gets weary of those who question him. Most everybody in here, unless you're a child, any parent in here, remember the stage with your children? Why? 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 Some of you, the kids never grew out of it till they're 30 years old. But why? And there's just times you got to say, just because. And it's not that you don't want to answer it, but they don't need to know why. They just need to do it.
Amen.
I learned a long time ago, when Dad said, go take the trash out, you don't say, why? Say, how did you figure that out? We had a powwow one day. He powed and I wowed. It didn't matter why. You just did it. There are just certain things you do. Now, wait a minute. Along the way, you figure it out. You know, a boy doesn't understand why mom has to wash clothes so much. Well, I only wore it four times. It shouldn't be that dirty. I turned them things inside out. They're not dirty on that side. I know boys. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't always make sense as to why, but there's a reason for that. You know, it doesn't make sense to a kid why they got to take a bath every day or a shower every day and use soap and water. One of my boys, he went in, he spent about 15 minutes in the shower and came back out, and I noticed his hair wasn't wet. I looked at him, I said, son, did you take a shower? Oh, yeah, Dad. I said, did you use water and soap? Well, I had the water on. It's not what I asked. Did you use water and soap from head to toe? No, sir. What'd you do? Well, it was pretty cool, Dad. He said, I got that wash rag in there and we dammed up that drain and filled up the bottom of the shower. I said, but did you take a shower? No. I said, go back in and take a shower. And if you don't, I'm going to scrub you and you ain't going to like it. Yes, sir. Wait a minute. Quit questioning God. Why is it that when something happens, everybody wants to question God why? I'm going to just say this. Brother Scott, don't understand why people don't question the devil why he does things. Why is it always God's fault? Earthquake hit. Well, I don't understand why God did that. My Bible says that there's a God of this world. Well, Grandma died back in October. She was only 99 and a half. I don't understand why God took her. Because she was a sinner like me. Why should I question God? Everybody doing okay? God gets tired of people mocking him. Woe be to the God mockers. Someday it's coming. God doesn't always pay on Friday, but payday's coming. People complaining about God not being fair. I just don't see how God could do that. I don't understand why God did that. Maybe it wasn't God. Jeremiah chapter 15, you don't need to turn there. But Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 6, and I know I have this one right. And I'm actually in the right chapter this time. Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. God says he gets tired of our unfaithfulness. Brother Stoltz, God gets tired of me being hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold for him all the time. He just wishes I'd turn it on and stay on. God gets tired of us doing right for a while, and then we go back and say, oh, God wasn't fair to me. I'm going to go back over here and live in the world for a while. God gets tired of us not coming to church so we can go make more money so we can have more toys to take us out of church longer. Everybody doing okay? That was an oh me. God's tired of us holding back judgment. And someday it's coming real fast. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And he's not holding anything back then. And woe be to those to whom he has been holding back, because when he does not hold back, look out, look out. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Don't you get tired of arguing, fussing, complaining, fighting with each other? God gets tired of it too. Then do something about it. Number three, and I'm going to finish. Jesus never gets tired of doing God's will. Jesus never gets tired of doing God's will. Hebrews chapter 12, let me read three verses to you. There, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, listen to this, endured the cross. Endured, that means weary, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. You think you got it tough? Look what Jesus went through for pay for your sin. I just don't know how I'm going to get through this. It's getting hard. Oh, God bless you. Come here. Let me pat you on the back and burp you. Show me one place where God ever said that living life was going to be easy. We complicated it because we're sinners. He made it easy for us. We chose to sin. We messed it up. Not God. Quit blaming him. Can I tell you something? Thank God he wasn't too weary to carry our sin. Thank God he wasn't too weary to take our cross. Amen. Thank God he wasn't too weary to battle the devil.
Yes, sir.
Thank God he wasn't too weary to handle the negative criticism of the world. Well, I just get tired of being made fun of as a Christian where I work. Oh, God bless you. Did you take your binky with you to work too? Put your pacifier in. Good night. Can I tell you something? I'd rather be known as a Christian than a child of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
At least I know where I'm going.
Amen.
Well, The religious people didn't like Jesus. Thank God he wasn't too weary to fight the religious people. I deal more with the stupid religious people than I do the devil. Everybody doing okay? He got weary, but he didn't give up. He got weary, but he didn't give in. Thank God Jesus didn't take a nap the day of Calvary and miss it. Everybody doing okay? Huh. I'm done. Let me make 5 or 6 statements and I quit. Number one, don't make major decisions when you're weary. Borrow wisdom and wait and rest on it. Don't go buy something when you're tired. Don't go buy a new house just because you're tired of your job and tired of your old house. Get wisdom. Borrow wisdom. And when you're tired, don't make major decisions.
That's good.
Don't react to correction, criticism, or harshness when you're tired. If you just got yelled at work, it's not a good day to make a decision to go find another job. No. That is the worst time to decide you need a new job. If you got yelled at work, thank God you got a boss that thinks you have enough in you to be better than you are. Quit whining and complaining about it.
Amen.
If they didn't fire your sorry soul, you must be doing okay.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? That was an amen.
Amen.
I wouldn't say it was me right there. Don't let everybody know you're weak and weary. Anybody that has any discernment and any care at all is going to be able to look into your eyes and say, they're pretty tired right now. I love these people that go around looking for people to, they're fishing for I'm just so tired. Oh, I'm just so this. I'm just so that. God bless you. It's all right. Don't change jobs when you're tired. Get counsel. Get advice. Go to somebody that's not as tired as you are right now. I'm going to go ahead and say this and be done. Don't quit church when you're tired.
Right.
Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I tell you something? You don't need to quit church just because you're tired. You don't need to skip church just because you're tired. Might as well come here and get the best sleep of the week here. Don't you think I get tired? I'll be honest with you. I only slept about 2.5 hours last night. And when my wife got here a little bit before 9 o'clock this morning, I was thinking, oh God. Brother Mike, I begged God for over an hour this morning. God, I'm tired. I really don't feel like this right now. But something happens, Brother Stoltz. Something just kicks in. And I get up to do what God wants me to do, and I could charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun for forever right now. Now, I might crash in about an hour, but it's okay. I'll get the strength I need to get done what I need to get done. Everybody doing all right? You got a board meeting today? Got to preach tonight? I've been dealing with banks and lawyers and insurance companies and all the other stuff. Can I tell you something? There's plenty to do. Counseling. When you get saved, we ought to give everything we've got to God. I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm talking about you give you. You know, I never get too tired to read my Bible. If I'm too tired to read my Bible, I'm too tired. Something else got to go, not the Bible. I'm not too tired to go to church. Something else has got to go, not church. I'm not too tired to serve God. Something else goes, not serving God. Because if I'll give him his, he'll bless me with everything I need. I promise you. That means we should be obeying him. Weariness. We weary ourselves with so many unnecessary things. So many things that we do that we get weary at. And honestly, there are some things we do we shouldn't even be doing. They're dragging you down, keeping you from doing what God wants you to do, and keeping you from your family. I'm not against overtime, but I know people that work so much overtime that they don't know who their family is. What good is it? We have families that husband works, wife works, and they have a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot home making $3,000 a month house payments, $500, $600, $700 a month electric bills, and on and on and on and on. And everybody's working full-time jobs plus to pay for it. They have two or three kids, and they never even know who the kids are. Look at me for a second. There's a charter school in downtown D.C. where a 12-year-old girl killed herself this week. I told my wife the sad thing is their parents live in the same town as they do. All those children grew up, and their parents live in D.C. What in the world are they sending their kids to somewhere else at night to live? They ought to be home. I'm sorry. It's not a school's responsibility to rear your kids. It's your job. The saddest part of that is people will blame the school. Where was mom and dad? Why was that child there all night long? Just doesn't make sense. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who takes preacher somewhere in that sermon? Something I needed today. I needed it. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Lots and lots and lots of hands. In a minute, the piano begins to play. When it begins to play, if you need to use this altar, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you'd like to take care of it today, we can. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you.